Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Brotherly Love Department here at Car Talk Plaza. What's this about? I don't trust you.
And you shouldn't.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to tell a little story.
Okay.
As most people know, we've had an absolutely terrible winter here in our fair city.
Yes.
I mean, we've complained about it enough. It was long, it was cold, it was snowy, and it was endless, relentless, every day.
Oh, yeah, no.
Stinko.
It certainly was.
So we get really sick of it. And the entire staff of Car Talk planned a trip to South Beach for a few days.
Yes.
Remember?
Yeah, I remember.
We were all looking forward to the sun. We were going to just go down, sit on the beach, you know, chill out, so to speak, in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
So the day before we're due to leave, my poor brother Raymond takes ill.
I was at death's door.
At death's door. He's confined to his bed, and his doctor says he can't go to South Beach. Dougie says to me, well, I guess the trip is off, huh? Your brother, poor guy, I mean, he's deathly ill. And I answer in the immortal words of Don Ameche, if you saw the movie Trading Places, screw him.
Those weren't exactly the words, but close enough.
Close enough. So we all go. I mean, everybody, the entire Car Talk staff, including my brother's own son, Andrew, who says the same thing. I said, but your father, he's at death's door. Screw him. So my brother says, I understand you guys have to go, but I have one request.
Well, I said, I was choking back the tears at the time.
No, I could see that.
Yeah.
You were choking back the tears.
I mean, leave me here alone.
Leave me here alone. But I guess he was trying to be brave. And he says, just do me one favor. Think of me while you're there. Think of me in my sick bed watching it snow, rain, sleet outside while I'm looking out through my convalescing window.
Yes.
So, on the way to the airport, we forgot all about him. Didn't even know who he was. Your brother. Who's got a brother? Oh, my brother, yeah. Anyway, we get to South Beach. We're sitting in the sun. We're drinking pina coladas. We're living it up like Wayne Newton. I mean, life is good. After a couple of days, we realize that we really hadn't thought of my brother at all. We were too busy watching the beautiful girls walk by. So we went to our favorite spot, the News Cafe. The News Cafe is the place. As you well know.
Yeah.
And we say, we have to do something so that my brother knows that we were thinking of him while we're here.
Yeah.
And after many hours of contemplation, it may have taken us all day. I mean, I remember sitting there with Bugsy, thinking about this all day.
And you could sit all day with
one cappuccino after another.
Plotting and scheming.
The idea finally hits us. Here is a way that Raymond will know that his buddies were actually thinking of him while we're living it up in South Beach. Because, I mean, just to tell him we were thinking about him wouldn't prove that we were thinking about him. So I have here in my pocket a little something that will absolutely prove to you that we were thinking of you. I mean, we sat there for days eating, drinking, and running up this tab.
This is a credit card receipt from the News Cafe with my signature on it. I don't know how that is. It says Frank Rizzo. And it is for an you guys were very generous with the tip. I see.
Well, yeah.
When do you give a 45% tip?
Don't forget there were a lot of us, and
this doesn't make any difference.
The waiters had been
45%.
They had been very, very good to us. You know, they saved us our table.
So you got this credit card from my son. My son was in on this.
Here's what happened, actually.
I don't think I want to know.
Your son and a friend of his, Noah, came. And at the end of this grueling 3 or 4 days during which we were trying to think of a way to think of you, to prove to you that we were thinking of you, we were having dinner at the News Cafe, but The place was mobbed.
This is your writing, too. This is my brother's writing. I recognize your hand. Me own brother.
I'll tell you what happened. When Drew and Noah showed up, we had already been seated for quite some time, and they had to take a separate little table for two. So when everything was over, the bills came, and I said to Drew, give us the bill. Drew, we'll pay for it. He says, I already paid for it, for ours, him and Noah.
Yeah.
And I said, what do you mean you already paid for it? He said, I have my father's credit card. And we almost fell off the chairs. You have your father's credit card? Get out. I said, Drew, let me just borrow it for a while. He says, oh, no, it's my father. Okay, here.
My brother and my son. Jeez, I guess
45% isn't bad.
There's a lesson to be learned here. Don't get sick. Stay healthy. Jeez. Well, I'm glad you all had a good time.
Well, we had a rollicking good time, and we're having a good time right now, too.
Well, I haven't received the bill yet.
You haven't?
No.
Oh, you will.
I can see that. Oh, God. Oh,
it's a lot of money, isn't it?
Can we take up a collection? Anyway, if you have a question about your car or anything else or how to avoid the high costs of credit card bills, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Tom from Bellingham, Washington, which is about as far away from South Beach as you can get.
Hi, Tom. It's, can you believe what they did to me?
Incredible.
It is. I mean, my own brother.
Well, you know, no one ever notices. No one ever looks at the signature. I not only didn't try to forge your signature, I didn't even write your own name down. I wrote Frank Rizzo.
That's my ace in the hole.
Well, you told me that that's what you always sign.
Oh, God. Anyway, how are you, Tom?
I'm fine, thanks.
What's up?
Well, I have this 95 Plymouth Voyager, and my wife usually drives it, but I drove it last Saturday, and it was cold, so I turned on the heater, and it started spewing this noxious substance from the heater vents, and they started coating the windshield and fogged it up enough that I couldn't see.
Yeah.
So my question is this a health hazard?
You ain't kidding.
I know it's a health hazard to drive when you can't see out of your windshield, but is it a health hazard to breathe the stuff that my car is spewing?
Yeah,
and secondly, what is it, and how can I fix it?
It's antifreeze.
Yeah, what's happened is the heater, which is located under the dashboard, has sprung a leak. Mm-hmm. And when you turn the blower on and the thing is in the defrost mode, it's blowing the air as well as this antifreeze vapor, which is coming out of the leak, you know, out of the hole in the heater core.
You know, the way the heater works is the coolant from the radiator also goes through another little radiator, which is underneath the dashboard. So it's the same stuff. It flows all the way through the whole system and brings the heat from the engine into the compartment, but hopefully not the liquid because it's sealed up.
Except yours isn't sealed
anymore. Yours isn't.
Yeah. Do you have a lot of miles in this thing?
About 100,000.
Yeah.
I mean, it's seriously, it's very dangerous.
Well, I mean, it's not, you're not going to kill. You still there, Tom?
I'm still here.
Yeah, I mean, do you have kids or pets or anything?
We do, yeah. That's the kid's car.
Do you have a parakeet?
No.
Well, get one. Have him ride around. If he croaks, then abandon ship. Yeah. But you should get it in and get it fixed because it's poisonous to drink the stuff. So you can imagine that it's not good to breathe it either.
Yeah, especially for little kids. I would not put them in this car until you fix it.
Okay. What will it take to fix it?
Many hundreds of dollars.
Oh, boy.
And on the other hand, if you can get a hold of your brother's credit card.
Yeah, this will be a piece of cake.
Right. He might not even notice. But what you can do for the short term, if you found yourself short of cash, you could have your mechanic shunt the heater hoses together and bypass the heater.
And then we wouldn't have heat.
Well, you don't need heat now.
Right.
He's in Washington. He might need heat.
Well, you don't need
heat. He's not in South Beach.
No, but you don't need heat for the next several months, during which time you can start to save, you know, $50 a month away. And by the end of the summer, you'll be halfway there.
Okay.
But so you can do that, and that costs virtually nothing to do. It's just a matter of removing the two hoses from the heater core and putting a piece of pipe between them and basically short-circuiting the flow of water so that it won't go through the heater, but instead will go through this length of pipe and will go right back into the engine. And that won't hurt anything. and it'll stop the fumes from coming into the car, and then you can decide whether or not you want to trade it in.
Yeah.
You may want to do that.
In the summer.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they won't be trying the heat. Good luck, Tom.
Thanks a lot.
All righty, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Christine from Corvallis, Oregon.
Hi, Christine.
Oregon, that would be C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E.
You're absolutely right, though. I was born in New York.
Oh.
Good enough.
Good enough.
All right, what's up, Christine?
Well, I have a safety question.
Yeah.
My car has airbags,
mm-hmm.
and is it safe for me when I'm the passenger to nip if I have an airbag that might deploy?
What a great question. Wouldn't it be uncomfortable to have a knitting needle in your eye?
That's what I'm thinking, or my chest.
You know, or through your trachea.
Yeah. Or your aorta. Right.
I have a very vivid imagination, and I've thought of
what
all
What are
of
you
these
making
things.
That can't wait?
Nothing really. It's just a good way to pass the time.
No, you know, yeah. It's right. My wife knits also, and she frequently knits in the car.
With you behind the wheel.
With me behind the wheel.
I have to talk to her.
And I have to say that I never thought of it. Let me just think about it. Here you are. First of all, knitting takes place down near the lap, low.
Right.
Right near the aorta.
I believe the airbag, when it deploys, mostly deploys up.
Okay.
So, as long as you're not knitting with the needles up around your chest, I think you'd be fairly safe.
Jeez, I don't think I'd want to have anything. I don't think I'd want to have anything like a knitting needle in my hands. Because, you know, you turn around, you're reaching for the next skein of yarn in the bag.
And you got the needle up high.
By your temple.
The airbag goes off and it goes right through your ear and into your brain.
You'll never know what hit you.
Are you crazy, Christine? Stop doing...
No, you know where you need to sit? In the back, like Grandma.
But then I'd be between my two children, and they'd be picking on...
Oh, the heck with that. Well, you know, how old are the kids?
5 and 8.
Yeah, so they're little. You could put the front seat way back.
Ah.
And I would have to guess, and I have no hard evidence, that you'd be fine.
Okay. And if I'm not, I'll let you know.
But, well, you know you won't.
My husband
Well, I mean, they suggest it is suggested by the experts that if you're in the passenger seat and there's no reason for you to reach any pedals or anything, you should be as far back as possible, and that's the safest position to be in. So, I'd say that's the safest position also if you're knitting.
Okay.
Yeah.
My brother's nervous about this.
Yeah, I am. I am. I'm disturbed by it. I don't like it. Do they make rubber
knitting needles?
How about needles that are?
No. Knitting needles have to click together. Don't you know anything? If they're
and
not
they sort
clicking,
of...
then you don't get the metaphysical experience. It's not the same.
Oh, it's not. You don't get the Zen experience.
You don't get it, man. If you don't
hear
the.
What about wooden needles? Would they be safer? Do you think?
Well, since wooden might be a little safer because at least they would break and they would only go halfway into your heart.
Yeah, and they'd be unremovable then.
And they would be jagged as they went
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I'd stick with the steel or the aluminum, whatever they're made out of.
Boy.
Good luck, Christine, but...
It's interesting. I don't think there's anyone who can give you a good answer for this.
Yeah.
I mean, there should be someone who provides great unyielding truths, you know?
Well, but that's what I expected from
us.
You.
And isn't that a disappointment?
Well, you know, I gave up smoking a pipe. I used to smoke for years a corn cob pipe. But the idea of that thing being lodged sideways in my windpipe, just the imagery, just, you know, made me give it up. I said, no, I don't think so.
Well, I'm quitting knitting, too.
Good idea.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Where would you get a definitive answer on a crazy question like that? I mean, there's no place to go.
She tried.
She did try.
No,
but
I think
obviously
we gave her a semi-definitive.
Based on nothing.
No, I think our advice was sound. I think... You gotta admit that it can't be safer knitting.
Than not knitting.
Than not knitting.
Well, I'll go for that.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I would be. I would feel more comfortable with what we told her if I knew exactly where that airbag deploys.
I don't think it makes. What if somebody said to you, "Here, hold this bag of broken glass." While we're going down the highway at 75 miles an hour. Yeah, would you feel good about that? And if we crash, the broken glass will, like, cut you open.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd feel good about that.
On the other hand, what are you going to do? Encapsulate yourself in plastic so you can't get hurt?
No. Yeah, no.
I see.
Again, we used to ride in the back of pickup trucks.
Of course.
Yeah, and we thought nothing of it.
I was in the back of a dump truck once, and I got dumped. That was fun.
Yeah, well, you know, and certainly people have had some awful accidents doing those kinds of things. I mean, we were just young and stupid. Now we're old and stupid. But you can't let everything get in the way of having a good time.
Especially the truth.
Exactly. All right, before we answer last week's puzzler, we have to take a short break. I hate to ask, but do you remember last week's puzzler?
No, I remember that it had something to do with cheating. So I'm guessing it was about, like, our garage.
Well, no, but you're right about the cheating, but it was cheating at cards.
Uh-huh.
And it was a Wild West puzzler with some, as you would expect, Wild West justice and a little bit of math thrown in.
Of course.
And we'll be back with the whole story and more of your calls in just a minute.
So please stay tuned.
And even though grief counselors leave business cards in the NPR lobby whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzle.
You ready? I am ready.
Okay, well, this was from my Tales from the Old West series, and it was submitted by Paul Mulick. You ready?
Yeah, go.
And I didn't really mess around with it all that much, I didn't think.
Really?
Yeah, you know, Paul did a pretty good job.
We'll find out.
In a certain Wild West town, a scoundrel was caught cheating at a card game at the Dirty Dog Saloon.
Mm.
A quick but honest trial was held, and he was found, of course, guilty as charged.
Yeah.
Now, in this town, cheating at cards was a capital offense that is punishable by death.
That's rather harsh, don't you think?
Hey, the Wild West was a harsh place, man, you know.
How many years for leaving the toilet seat?
Oh, you don't want to find out. No, trust me. Anyway, normally the judge would have just ordered the man shot, of course, but since he knew the citizens of the town enjoyed games of chance, he came up with an unusual sentence.
Hmm.
Speaking to the condemned man, the judge proclaimed the following. At high noon tomorrow, you'll be tied to the flagpole in the middle of town. The marshal, an expert marksman who never misses, will load two bullets into his six-shooter and spin the cylinder. Brrr, right?
You've all
seen that. He will then aim directly at your chest from 20 paces away and pull the trigger. Now, if the chamber should happen to be empty, he will pull the trigger one more time. If after this you are still alive, you will get on your horse and ride away, you lucky devil.
Wow.
Okay? You got all the details?
I think I do, yeah.
Well, so the next day, high noon arrives. A crowd gathers on Main Street to witness the proceedings. The condemned man is tied to the flagpole.
Mm.
A lonely tumbleweed blows by. The condemned man watches as the marshal standing nearby loads two bullets into his trusty Colt 45 and spins the cylinder. The clock in the courthouse tower chimes 12 times. The crowd holds its breath. The marshal takes 20 paces, turns towards the prisoner, takes aim, and click! Oh! The chamber is empty! The gun does not fire! Everybody exhales. At this point, the marshal says to the condemned man, "Look, you're a gambling man, so let's make this more interesting. Before I take my second shot, I'll give you a choice. Should I just aim and fire again, or should I spin the cylinder first?" The condemned man thinks about it, then he says, "Just go ahead and shoot." Turns out the condemned man saw something that told him his odds would be better if the cylinder did not spin again. The question is, what did he see?
What did he see?
Yeah.
Some girl across the street. No.
Well, he may have, but I don't...
Something to do with the bullets.
There you go.
Nah, that would be more like it.
That would be more like... He might have noticed some girl across the street, but it's not the time for that. So what could the condemned man have noticed? Well, with two bullets in the cylinder and four empty chambers, any spin of the cylinder would mean a 4 out of 6 or 2 out of 3 chance of his walking away, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there are two bullets and he's got two chances out of it, right?
Yeah.
But what our condemned man saw was that the marshal, ready for this?
Yeah.
Had loaded the bullets into two adjacent chambers in the cylinder so that the four empty chambers are all in a row, right?
Yeah.
Well, let's label the chambers 1 through 6, right? You got six things.
Six.
Okay. And let's say the bullets are in chambers 1 and 2. When the marshal took the first shot, that first spin must have landed on chambers 3, 4, 5, or 6, right?
Yeah.
Because if it landed on 1 or 2, he'd be what? He'd be dead. Gasping. He'd be dead. Now, of those four chambers, 3 are followed by other empty chambers, and only 1, number 6, is followed by a loaded chamber, which would be number 1.
Yeah.
So if the cylinder is not respun, the odds are then 3 out of 4 that the next chamber will be empty. So his chances of walking away are improved from 2 out of 3 to 3 out of 4. Pretty good, huh?
Pretty good.
So do we have a winner?
Yes, we do.
Well, you're going to tell us who it is.
Yes, our winner this week is Will Stark from Santa Rosa, California, and for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Will's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com, with which he can get a copy of our latest album, Tales of the Brothers Grime.
I guess that would be us, I think.
That would be us. It certainly would be.
Well, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show. It's not automotive, but I think it's kind of cute. So stay tuned for that. If you have a question about your car or anything else, please give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Rachel. I'm calling from Cincinnati.
Hi, Rachel.
From where?
Cincinnati. Oh. Pay attention.
Sorry. Jeez, you know. Cincinnati. I thought you said hootenanny.
What's up, Rachel?
Well, my front passenger side tire is making a funny sticking noise, and, you know, it kind of speeds up as I drive faster, and then when I slow down, it goes slower, and then when I stop moving, it stops completely.
Does it sound like there's a piece of gum stuck to it?
Yes. I described it as, like, you know, when you're in the movie theater and you step in a pile of Coke that somebody has dried, is what it sounds like.
Yeah, and it makes that little creaky sound.
Yeah.
Like. Yeah.
It could be a piece of gum.
Probably a piece of gum stuck to it.
Well, my husband got out and looked, and we couldn't find one. So.
That's because it was on the bottom when he looked. No, it's likely that you don't have anything stuck to it.
Uh-huh.
What kind of a car is it?
It's a 98 Plymouth Neon.
Mm.
What you have is a tire that's coming apart.
Inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, the tires are made up of various layers or plies of rubber.
Uh-huh.
And what you're hearing, that sticky noise you're hearing,
mm-hmm.
is one ply moving against the one below it.
Tectonic plates.
Wow.
Right, exactly. It's like what goes on, the San Andreas Fault.
Uh-huh. Right. And it's quite dangerous.
Okay.
And eventually you're going to have an eruption. Eventually what's going to happen is the tread is either going to come off or it's going to get a lot worse. Usually if you have this, you can detect it by driving down a very smooth road. Do you have any smooth roads in Cincinnati?
A couple.
Because we don't have any in Boston.
We don't have many.
All of our roads in Boston have huge potholes in them, which I'm convinced are never going to be filled.
Yeah, probably not.
But if you can find a nice smooth road and you drove down very slowly with your hand off the steering wheel,
uh-huh.
you would see, or if you had it just barely touching, you would see the wheel jerk one way or the other. So you'd every revolution of the tire,
mm-hmm.
when that bad part came around,
yeah.
you would notice the wheel would just jerk either left or right, just a few degrees.
Because uh-huh. as it's separating, the tire is squirming inside itself.
Uh-huh.
And it's really, really dangerous. You really shouldn't be driving it.
Yeah,
so
you should,
I need to get it fixed.
10 miles an hour to the tire store.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Well, you probably, what, did you just come back from Canada?
No, I'm in graduate school here, so I'm trying to save money if I can. But
don't go to classes today.
Right, no
okay,
class.
Can you write a note for me?
We will write you a note. It's on the way.
But you may need to replace both front tires, or for all four. But nothing's more important than your tires.
Yeah. Okay.
See you, Rachel.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Peter Warner from Bend, Oregon.
No last names, please.
Hi, Peter.
Well, I have a 96 Nissan 240 SX SE, and I have a barely perceptible whine that I can hear in the lower gears.
Your mother-in-law in the back seat?
Back seat isn't big enough for one of those.
Well, not for your mother-in-law, huh? Yeah, you said it, not me.
It's so easy to get into trouble, isn't it?
I hope my wife doesn't hear this. Anyway, when I push the clutch in to change gears, it goes away. The whine goes away. When I let the clutch out, it comes back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Look, Peter.
Yeah, go ahead.
You can hang up right now.
And the truth is, if you did hang up right now, you probably would be all right for a really long time.
Okay.
Yeah, the car, on the other hand, is in trouble. You'll be all right. You'll get over it.
Well, it's better not to know sometimes.
Yeah. So you don't want to hang up, huh?
No.
Well, the fact is that because the noise goes away when you step on the clutch,
mm-hmm.
the noise is coming from the transmission.
Okay.
And it's coming from what's called the pilot shaft bearing. Now, it could be making noise because it's just worn out and has a lot of miles on it.
52,000 miles.
Oh.
Oh.
That's not a lot of miles.
Okay, so you can hang up now if you'd like.
You can hang up at any time during this conversation.
Yeah, we won't be offended.
But my mother-in-law has probably already heard this, so.
you might as well go for it.
Well, here's the worst case scenario,
mm-hmm.
that the oil in the transmission leaked out, either through an axle seal or God knows what. You know, and if that's the case and the thing ran for a long time with insufficient lubrication, then you could have damaged not just this bearing. By the way,
which is the one you happen to be hearing.
I hesitate to ask the question, but when you're in motion, is the noise more severe than it is when you're just parked?
I think the answer to that is no. When I'm doing
that's good.
When I'm doing 40 or 50, I can't hear it because I'm going I'm going too fast. But
that's
right,
the right
but
answer.
How about 20 miles an hour on a quiet street? When you're doing that speed,
I can hear it, but my wife can't hear it.
Can your mother-in-law hear it? Well, if that's the case, then you may be all right, and I would do the following. I would take it to your repair shop and ask them to check the transmission oil level.
Okay.
If it's full, I think I would just continue to drive it until the noise got to be horrendous.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I meant was if you hung up in the beginning of the call, you'd probably be okay for a long time.
All right.
But when the noise...
Unless you're out of oil.
Yeah, if you're out of oil, then you're probably going to have the transmission rebuilt sooner than later, and the noise may get horrendous real soon.
But I have had cars that have had this noise for 10 years. And
because they were parked for 9 of those years in my driveway. Can I? He comes to my house and say, can I leave my car here overnight for the next 9 years? You know, and of course, they don't make noise when they're not driven.
Well, that's only because my sister wouldn't let me leave it in her driveway anymore. Get it out!
Oh, God. So, I mean, you might be able to go a long time, but more than anything, have the transmission oil level checked.
All right.
If it's low, fill it up or change it and obviously fix whatever leak. is responsible for it being low, and hope for the best.
Okay.
And now you can hang up.
Right. Thanks for calling, Pete.
Thank you, guys.
See you
Good
later.
Luck.
Bye-bye. 1-888.
No, my sleek black beauty had that noise in it for 50,000 miles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, you can go a long time. It depends how fixated you get on it. If you start...
That's, yeah. You know,
obsessing about the noise.
If the radio's not loud enough, you'll hear. That's the only thing you'll hear. That's why he can hear it at 20 miles an hour, and his wife can't, because it isn't really there. He's making it up.
Right, and he's flipped out now. I think maybe we've just calmed him enough.
I hope so.
So that he can forget about it and enjoy the car.
Yeah, because he thought it was an ominous sound and it was going to be $1,000, which it is.
Oh, it's, oh yeah. Well, he's gone now.
But we'll let his mother-in-law break that news to him.
1-888.
Just say, funny man. I got your transmission, funny man.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Yeah. Tell everyone I can't get in the back seat. I'm Mr. Funny Man. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Ruth calling from Baltimore.
Hi, Ruth.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. I'm getting ready to buy my grandson a car for his 16th birthday.
Are you?
And when I suggested a couple of manufacturers, he said they were chick cars. Now, you
oh,
guys
really?
Seem to know everything.
Yes,
so
we
maybe you
do.
Can define chick car for me.
Well, I mean, obviously, a chick car is a car that chicks would drive and not guys.
Yeah, but what constitutes a chick car?
Well, it's such a blend of styling and engineering.
And there's not a clear-cut line of demarcation, and it keeps moving. You know, a car that had been a guy car.
There are even transgenders going on.
Can slip into chickdom.
Yeah.
Without warning.
Well, I suggested a Mini Cooper S model.
Yeah.
And he said that's a chick car.
Oh, Doug Berman is going to be very disappointed to hear that because he owns one.
He just bought one.
How? And your nephew was 16, and he thinks that's a chick car, huh?
Yes.
Really?
See,
the other thing.
See, I warned you, Dougie.
But he's going to have to pay for the gas for this car, and I thought that a Mini Cooper would be a nice, economical car.
Well, you're right, and I'm not sure I agree that it's a chick car, but it doesn't matter.
Oh no, if he thinks it's a chick car,
because the word gets out. I mean, there's no list of chick cars except on our website, but somehow. Everyone knows. I mean, especially teenagers. Teenagers, as you well know, are very susceptible to this kind of thing.
Peer pressure.
And they're very sensitive to what's right and what's wrong, what's acceptable and what's not acceptable.
Well, I don't want to embarrass him because it's tough enough to be that age.
Well, it's tough enough to buy a car for somebody, too, and have them be an ingrate.
What would you suggest that it does not exceed $25,000?
I've got the car for him.
What's that?
And I would buy one of these, except I'm too old. But he certainly isn't, and it's a fun car. It certainly isn't a chick car, and in fact, it's I think it's very much a guy car, and it's the Honda Element.
Honda Element.
Yeah, it looks like a little bread truck.
Uh-huh.
It's the kind of thing that you could go camping in. You can sleep in it. You can transport farm animals in.
Yeah, that's not bad.
It has lots of uses, and it's cool looking.
Right.
And it's even less than $25,000.
Well, that's helpful.
And you can get it in all-wheel drive.
Uh-huh.
He may jump at that thing.
Well, thank you, and we will go right off to look at it.
Yeah, I mean, it would be... Here's what you do. How about you take him to the Honda dealer?
Right.
And you let him find the Element.
That's a good idea.
And I think the worst thing you can do is to show any interest in it yourself.
Yeah, because whatever you like, he won't like.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. I just ordered a new car for myself.
What'd you get?
An SL500.
He'd like that, wouldn't he?
I think he would be interested in that.
Good luck, Ruth, and that's nice of you to buy your grandson a car. And would you like to adopt me?
Not this year.
All right, yeah, you'll have to recover from the element purchase.
Okay.
We'll talk. See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, look, I think it's time to take a little break.
Ah, this is where our producer Dougie comes in and gives us some strategy for the next half of the show, right?
No, this is where he comes in and says, would it kill you two to pay attention?
It might.
Well, anyway, we'll be back with a brand new puzzler in just a minute.
Big old lazy Gator rests his chin upon a turtle. There's a lonely Mickey freight train on the track. Rin is in the canyon, there's a wobbler in the myrtle. I'm on the road with Jack. Miles turn into miles and miles. Texas fades to black. Lost in the words, I am lost in the music. I'm on the road with Jack.
And even though the RCA dog puts his paws over his ears and howls whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Non-automotive and hopefully non-bogus.
We'll see. I know one of those is right.
Go ahead.
Stevie had decided it was time to take his motorcycle to work. It had been, you know, in the garage all winter, and finally the weather had gotten nice, and he figured it's time. So he gets the thing out of mothballs, he siphons gas out of his snowblower, fills up the tank, fires the thing up, and off he goes. And he's enjoying the beautiful sunshine, the warm air, and he comes to an intersection that he goes through every day, but usually driving his car. And, you know, when you're on a motorcycle, you're keenly aware of everything that's around you. You see the birds chirping. You can really smell the aroma of the exhaust gases coming out of the car in front of you.
Yeah.
And he looks up at a building that's to his right, and he sees one of those big signs that displays the time and the temperature. So he notices the time comes on, and he says, geez, I guess I'm really late for work, but I'll stay late, not to worry. And the temperature comes up in Fahrenheit, and then a few seconds later, it comes up in centigrade.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, huh, that's interesting. The digits are exactly reversed. For example, if it had said 31 degrees Fahrenheit, when it showed the centigrade reading,
13.
It was 13. He says, I've never seen that before. The light turns green and off he goes to work.
Yeah.
Well, because he got to work so late, he decides to stay late. And he realizes he should have listened to the weather forecast for that day, because when he comes out of work, it's drizzly and rainy and cold and lousy. Anyway, he has to get back on his motorcycle and he's coming home. And he
Let me guess, he comes to the same intersection.
You know? What are the chances? He comes to the same intersection. He thinks, geez, you know, what are the chances that I would ever see that again?
Yeah.
Well, he knows it's different temperature because it's not warm and sunny like it was when he went to work.
It's
cold and drizzly and rainy. And he sees the temperature in Fahrenheit. And he sees
it. Let me guess.
In centigrade. And
they're the same reversed. Same digits reversed.
They're reversed.
Again.
What are the chances of that? And the question
only
is,
in a puzzler would this happen.
Only in a puzzler.
Don't try this at home, folks.
So the question very simply is, what was the temperature in the morning when he went to work? And what was the temperature when he came home? Now, if you think you know the answer, write
That's
it on a
excellent
postcard. Or in the back, and you can give the answer.
If there's an answer, this is a great puzzle.
Oh, if there's an answer, this yeah. And you can give the answer in either Fahrenheit or centigrade. We don't care.
We will do the conversion ourselves.
Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or on the back of a $21 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 022. Or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. But right now, if
you can hand deliver it.
Or you can hand deliver it. But if you want an answer that's on a par with the other answers we've given today, you can give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is John calling from our nation's capital.
Hi, John.
Are you a lawyer or a politician?
No, I'm a faithful government servant.
Really?
Oh, a civil servant.
Mm-hmm. Very civil.
Very civil.
You sound civil.
Yeah.
No, I try. My problem is I've got a my midlife crisis car. It's a red convertible 1990 Mazda Miata.
Red, huh?
Red. It's got to be red.
Yeah.
I've got a problem. I'm kind of cheap, and I want you to help me save some money. When I park it each morning going to work, I have a choice of parking it inside a garage or out in the open air. And I like to park it out in the open air because it's cheaper. But I'm afraid of what that might be doing to the soft top.
Uh-huh.
So I made a deal with myself or with a car that I would park it indoors on a bad day and outdoors on a nice day. But then it occurred to me that maybe I was getting it backwards, what seemed to me a nice
day. The sun
day,
might be doing it.
Yeah, that the sun was actually worse for the car than the rain.
Oh, absolutely. The only time the rain is bad is if the roof already leaks.
Well, yeah. I lent it to my brother for 3 years, so then that was a big issue.
Yeah.
But now that he nicely replaced the top, I want to keep it nice and shiny.
Yeah. Well, as we know, it gets pretty hot in Washington, D.C. in the summertime.
Yes, it does.
And, I mean, you're obviously thinking that you're going to own this car for another 10 years or more.
Yeah, right? I've got a long midlife crisis planned.
Yeah. So you would think that after
all... planned. Jeez, how do you know you're having a midlife crisis?
Well, usually someone tells you. I mean, almost
really?
Always someone says, oh, midlife crisis, huh?
Really? Yeah.
I don't think you know yourself.
Is get a haircut enough?
No.
No. Geez, no one's ever told me.
But maybe you haven't had one.
I'm too old to not have had one.
Well, no. Sometimes it's delayed.
Really?
You could have it.
Delayed onset midlife crisis?
Delayed onset midlife crisis. DOMLF.
F? Okay.
No, I started to say that you would think that with all the convertibles that I have owned, I would have some sense of what the deal is with convertible tops. And I don't, because I've never had a convertible top
that worked.
That worked or was worth saving. It was always a disaster.
Yeah, Tommy put his top down in May, and he put it back up in October.
Oh, what about that? I mean, I get pretty lazy in the summer. Don't like to put the top up if it's sitting out in an open parking lot, open all day.
How about you buy a car cover
and drag that to work?
Oh, that's a pain. We're talking about a Miata here. He can hardly fit in the car himself.
Well, you can drag it along behind you, a little trailer or something.
Trailer. That fits the midlife crisis. You might as well just cut your wrists.
But what gratification are you getting out of this car that is alleviating your midlife crisis?
Well, it's just the fun factor. I just love even just driving, commuting to work. It turns into a little adventure. The air,
sure.
The wind,
it's
in my hair.
It's wonderful.
You get the stray look once in a while.
Good luck.
Like you think they're admiring.
You
think they're looking at you, but they're looking at the car.
You might want to adopt my policy,
and that
Sean,
is?
Which was don't ever worry about the top. Just drive the car. If you're going to worry about how long, you got a brand new top now. The first one lasted 13 years. And if you just think about it and worry about it, you're defeating the whole purpose of the convertible.
Uh-huh.
The whole purpose of the Miata is freedom.
Right. You want to adopt that devil-may-care attitude.
Exactly.
You need to stick a surfboard in the passenger seat.
That's it.
Right? You don't surf, do you?
No.
You don't have to. The surfboard's good enough.
When I had my 74 Chevy Caprice Classic convertible, what a car.
That turned a lot of heads. Mostly mostly from the tow truck drivers looking to take cars to the junkyard.
Well, I used to park it out in back of my office. And many times, I mean, I never put the top up. And many times it would rain during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a guy who took care of the building, and he came running into my office saying, Tom, it's raining. The top is down. And I'd say, who cares?
I'm writing this down.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Who cares?
That's good.
It's only a car. And besides, the holes in the floor would drain the water right out.
Yeah. You need some holes in the floor.
Sort of a self-regulating system, you know? So I wouldn't worry about it. Forget about the top. The top will be there. Don't worry about it.
Just grab for the gusto.
Go yeah. for the gusto.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You'll defeat the purpose of the midlife crisis. Yeah. You are having a midlife. The very fact that you called us with this question means that you are in the middle of a midlife crisis, worrying about stupid things like money.
There you go.
Yeah, let it go.
All right. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Have a wonderful time.
Thanks.
And you'll see tomorrow on your way to work,
uh-huh.
you're going to be sitting at a light and some woman's going to pull up alongside you and say, hi. And you'll probably pass out. Oh, I wish you the very best. I wish you the best, John.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a million.
Good luck.
Yeah, no, don't worry. You're going to be fine. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Hi. Couldn't you just see her?
I can just. Yeah. I had a mental image.
Yeah, and she's going to be driving a Toyota pickup truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's going to just leave this Miata by the side of the road.
Side of the road.
With the keys in it.
Screw
it. Right. Not going to go to work.
Who needs a car?
And he's going to wind up in Ensenada.
Right. Oh, selling candles in the street.
1-888.
Oh, saying, lucky dog.
Down in Louisiana. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Heidi. I'm calling from Midland, Michigan.
Heidi. Heidi, ho.
Yes, that
would
be me.
Up?
So I have a 1998 Volvo Cross Country, and it is approaching 70,000 miles very quickly. And when it gets to 70,000 miles, it needs to have its belts changed, including the timing belt.
Yes, it does.
And this is why I'm calling, because my husband thinks that this is a job that he wants to undertake. And the problem that I have with this is that he is not a mechanic. He teaches tennis for a living. And English is like his fifth language. He's not originally from the United States. And he says that he has this book that all mechanics have, and he can just look at the book, and he'll be able to install the new timing belt, and everything will be perfect. But I have to say to him over and over again, but you don't like to read, especially in English. So we're having a kind of a family breakdown here, and I'm wondering if you could give me some advice on whether or not I should have let him change this timing belt in this car.
Either you should lock him in the cellar and take the thing to the Volvo dealer.
Well, he seems to think that he can do it. He's been piddling around with cars.
What has he ever done before?
Well, we did have a 1989 Honda Accord, and he did try to change the timing belt on that, but it was a disaster because he couldn't get this bolt off that he needed to get off to do it.
Right.
So he ended up having to have it towed to a garage where they could get the bolt off and replace the belt.
Oh, and they did it.
Yes, they actually did it. But his friend has a BMW, and they replaced the timing belt in that car together. So he seems, I don't know, he's done brakes before.
He didn't get very far on the Honda, because taking that bolt off is the equivalent of, like, let's say you're going to run a marathon and you couldn't tie your sneakers. So that's what he got stymied right there.
Okay.
So the friend with whom he did the timing belt on the friend's car.
Yes.
Is that person able to help him on this job?
Yes, he will help him. But he's not a mechanic either. He teaches figure skating for a living. So
figure skating and tennis.
Yeah.
What are you guys living in? Like, what are you living in, Disney World? Does anyone work out there in Midland?
I guess it. It might appear that way, but it's not really Disney World at all. So, yeah.
I'd say you're not going to be able to stop them.
Okay.
No.
It might cost you a car.
That's what I wondered, because I thought the timing belt was kind of important. And if you put it in wrong, what would happen?
Oh, that would be bad.
On this car, it's a disaster.
Okay.
And if you put it in wrong, or worse than that, if it jumps.
Yeah.
You could put it in correctly, and then you do something wrong, and it jumps a couple of teeth.
Okay.
That can be disastrous, too. And the disaster is that it bends the valves to the tune of a couple of $1,000.
Holy come on. Okay.
Or if you're lucky, the valve goes right through the piston.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Yeah.
So Let's say that I can't convince him and I don't file
Then you're going to have to lock him in the cellar. And there's no other way.
Well, is there anything that I should look for? Or will he know when he starts the car?
Does he have a lot of time on his hands? Is that it?
No!
Is he bored with his marriage?
Isn't this tennis season now? Come on, can you sign up? Can we sign up for lessons?
Well,
you mean you can't distract him enough?
Give me some ideas.
I don't think we should have to give you ideas.
He's into the car. He can do it. I don't know.
I mean, this is an important thing, you know?
All right. I'll do my best.
By the way, just to be serious for a minute.
Okay.
Don't let it go beyond the minute.
We recommend also at our shop that you replace the water pump when you do this.
Really?
Only because we've seen a lot of water pumps go bad at like 100,000 miles. And when the water pump goes bad, you've got to do this job all over again.
Really?
Yeah. So if you're going to do it, maybe that will be enough to put him over the edge.
Okay.
And the water pump is hard to do because there's not much room to maneuver that thing in and out of there.
That's going to be my leverage.
And then he's going to bleed the system afterwards and tell him.
You know, I mean, I think it's admirable of him to want to do something like this on the car. But he chose a really bad thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, ordinarily we'd be with him, but it's
too hard, too complicated, and the consequences of doing it wrong are enormous.
And the tennis thing, does he string his own rackets?
I think maybe sometimes, but not very often. He knows how.
How many rackets does he have?
Oh, I don't know, hundreds. He has a lot of rackets.
Cut them all.
Okay. I'll see what I can do.
All right.
Good luck, Heidi.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Do whatever it takes.
Okay, I will.
Bye-bye. Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David, the Calves of Belleville Green. Our senior web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Ring of Kerry, Sour Cherry, Logan Berry, Spanish Sherry, Low Fat Dairy, Bloody Mary, Ben & Jerry Confectionery, Eat, Drink, and Be Very, Very Merry, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Inovera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our show reviewer is Seamus O'Dull. Our motivational speaker is Boris Oxoff. Our director of staff bonuses is Ray Vaughn. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luce Cruz. Our optometric firm is CF Eye Care. Our contract extension negotiator is Evan Elpus. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the theoretical physicist selling falafel in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1016, trek through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com, or you can call the Shameless Commerce Division at 888-CAR-JUNK.
Also this week at cartalk.com, you can sign up to be notified by email if there's a recall on your car.
So have you tried it yet?
I have. I signed up my 77 Fiat Spider.
And were there any recalls?
I don't know. It crashed the server. Then it emailed me the names of some grief counselors.
Check out the new safety searches and email notification options sponsored by Car Talk and NHTSA.
It's all at the safety page of cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Goldilocks wonders who's been messing with her radio's presets whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.